Do you remember the Berlin Wall? It was a 96-mile-long barrier of concrete and barbed wire, patrolled by armed border guards and watched over by lookout towers. It stood for nearly 30 years. More than 130 people died trying to cross it. It divided families, communities and states of East and West Germany before it was demolished in 1989. The Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, recalled the Berlin Wall when she spoke to journalists in London yesterday, echoing these comments she made outside the Doyle last Thursday.
And above all, I think it's important that we all understand that this isn't just about the economy and it's not just about trade. This is not a technical dilemma, this is a political question. And the idea of reinstating in any form the border on the island of Ireland is almost like suggesting that we rebuild the Berlin Wall from a political point of view.
So, what do you make of that comparison? 0-30-30-80-55-55. The commentators Nelson McCausland and Phil Kelly with us this morning. Nelson, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What do you make of that comparison, Nelson?
Well, it shows that Mary Lou MacDonald has lost the run of herself. She has lost all sense of perspective and seems to assume that no one else has any sense of perspective. It's a ludicrous comparison. And I think the comments made by Gregory Campbell after her original statement were absolutely right when he said she was shamelessly exploiting border communities. That's what this is about. It is exploiting border communities, people who live close to the border, and indeed people more widely in Northern Ireland and the Republic, trying to ramp up unnecessary, unfounded, ludicrous fears for party political purposes.
Well, she and her party might be in touch, Nelson, more with the fears on that border, of the people on that border and the fears than you.
Well, I would suggest that that is not the case. I think that, in fact, what she has done there is just talk in terms that are so bizarre, so ludicrous, as to make her really almost a figure of ridicule rather than any sense of reality. I'm almost stuck for words to say just how ludicrous this really is. The border that existed in the past, even during the worst days of the Troubles in Northern Ireland, at a time when members of the IRA were using the border as an escape route into the Irish Republic. Even at that time, there was nothing of anything like the nature of the Berlin Wall.
Phil?
Well, before I get to the history of the Berlin Wall, if you like, let's look at the history of Ulster unionism. And there's a very important quote that Nelson and the DUP should remember, and it's from unionist icon Lord Carson. He said, "What a fool I was. I was only a puppet, and so was Ulster, and so was Ireland, in the political game that was to get the Conservative Party into power." And if you look at Brexit for Ireland, North, South, it's hugely damaging, and it's a hugely retrograde step. And that is what Mary Lou MacDonald was making the analogy for. Nelson talks of border communities ramping up the fear. He should be reminded that every border constituency voted against Brexit. They rejected it because they know the reality of partition. And if you look at the Berlin Wall, it stood for less than 30 years. East Germany and West Germany were separated for less than 50 years. We have a society here, a failed state, if you like, that is coming up to 100 years since its creation, which was an affront to democracy. And also within our society, we have walls, the peace walls, which are still standing and have stood for longer than the Berlin Wall ever stood. So any threat of a deepening of partition should be called out as a hugely retrograde step that the vast majority of people living here reject and they don't want. And walls, whether historical, whether they be the Berlin Wall, whether they be the peace walls in Belfast and the like, or the walls proposed by Benjamin Netanyahu or Donald Trump or the various barbed wire fences that stretch across Europe to stop migrants, are all signs of political failure. And people who talk about stronger borders, bigger walls, you know, these are signs of political crisis, not success.
I see Sinn Féin tweeted yesterday, Nelson, any suggestion of hardening the border in Ireland is the political equivalent of rebuilding the Berlin Wall. So they're standing over these comments.
Oh, indeed. And I thought it was noticeable there that Phil Kelly talked about all sorts of things other than the core issue we were to speak about this morning, which is Mary Lou McDonald's comparison between any developments that there might be, any proposals to deal with trade across the border and the Berlin Wall. It is so ludicrous. Of course, Sinn Féin really started off this with putting up posters about how this would be terrible if there was Brexit. Then we had the nonsense of the amateur dramatics at the border with people dressing up in trench coats and Mary Lou McDonald standing there with a sledgehammer knocking down a cardboard wall. We've had all of that sort of thing with white line pickets on the Anderson's Town Road.
Hang on, Nelson.
All of this. This has been going on again and again, week after week, and it's simply part of Sinn Féin's attempt to claim some relevance in the middle of all of this, because they're not taking their seats at Westminster. They have collapsed Stormont. They are a minor party in the Dáil. They're trying to establish themselves as the voice of the Remainers. And I don't think this is credible.
Hold on a minute, Nelson.
It becomes even more ludicrous.
Ian Paisley Jr., when you're talking about, you know, speaking...
Hold on, you've got to let him speak.
Yeah, sure.
Ian Paisley Jr. was parading around the stage outside Westminster screaming no surrender at a crowd of pro-Brexiteers. The DUP have fastened their cart to the fringe right of the Tory party who have dropped them, who done a U-turn and sold them out. And, you know, I remind you that your party, the DUP, is talking to a minority in the north because the vast majority of people oppose Brexit. They know they don't want Ireland, north or south, to be collateral damage for a ridiculous Tory Brexit, which your party is cheerleading for in the face and the arguments against from business, from the farmers, from trade unions, from border communities. So it's the DUP are wholly out of step. And what I'm trying to say is, Mary Lou, it was a comparison she's making to say if partition is deepened on this island, it is a hugely retrograde step. It would be the equivalent of as unimaginable as re-erecting the Berlin Wall. I think that's a fair statement, and I think your party need to get their head around how damaging Brexit is for Ireland as a whole.
Here's William in Belfast. Morning, William.
Morning, Steve.
Go ahead, William.
Most people in politics now are wondering why you even get Brexit. And at best, the softest is Brexit. And we're talking about some sort of a Berlin Wall. Where are we? What sort of talk is this? You know, it's quite evident if you're lucky if you get Brexit at all, and probably suspended down the road maybe for a year and a half. So why is all this nonsense and build up like that? Scaring people.
Well, what's scaring people?
Stephen, there'll be no leaving without no deal. That is evident. There'll be no hard border, and there mightn't even be a Brexit. So why are we talking about a massive security presence at the border and so forth?
I think in some people's minds, the reason is, William, is because there were some Conservatives, some Tories and others, who were prepared to get Brexit no matter what. In fact, Nelson McCausland, I don't want to...
Stephen, hold on a second. That's gone now. That bus has passed.
Well, not officially it hasn't.
Well, if you're looking for an official...
Well, actually, there was a vote in the Commons last night, wasn't there, that went through? It's now law. No, you're right.
Common sense it has, and political nous it has. And that you, obviously, I don't mind you looking for listening figures. It's just a lot of nonsense.
No, but I think the important point here to remind yourself is that the DUP aligned themselves with elements in the Tory party who attacked the Good Friday Agreement, who were talking about moving beyond the Good Friday Agreement, from Jacob Rees-Mogg to Boris Johnson and even Michael Gove. Senior Tories really see the north of Ireland as a distraction, as something they prefer. And I go back to that quote from Carson. It's a place they don't really want to deal with, and Brexit has exposed that the real dysfunctional union, yes, the European Union is dysfunctional, but the union of the United Kingdom is wholly dysfunctional. And you have a government who treat with disregard the hard-won rights that were secured in the Good Friday Agreement. I remind you of the work that Emma D'Souza and Daniel Holder have been undertaking to defend those rights. And that is what is at stake, and that is what this sitting Tory government have no regard for.
Nelson?
The issue here is a statement that was made by Mary Lou McDonald. Now, she has had a bad spell as leader of Sinn Féin. The whole debacle around the presidential election in the Irish Republic was very, very badly handled by Sinn Féin, and I think she will carry a lot of the responsibility within the party over that. There have been other issues where she has been described by many people in rather unflattering terms. So she hasn't had a particularly good spell. And that's really the issue that we were to talk about this morning, which is about Sinn Féin president and her ludicrous statement the other day. What Phil Kelly wants to talk about is everything else under the sun.
Well, he's
gone from one end of the country to the other. And all the way, I'm sorry if Phil Kelly would give me a chance to speak. He's gone from one end of the country to the other. He's gone from one issue to the other. He's had us back with Lord Carson. All of that. He has covered all sorts of ground, but he's trying to evade the core issue. And I think it's interesting that he has taken such a sympathetic stance towards Mary Lou McDonald and towards what Sinn Féin have been doing in exploiting.
Well, can I come back to that?
Shamelessly and callously exploiting this issue in order to radicalise people, to create fears, concerns, for cynical political purposes. That's really,
I
find it remarkable that he has taken that line.
Of course
he's
you can't.
He's not there as a member of Sinn Féin, because he's not a member of Sinn Féin. I don't know if he's still a member of the Labour Party or not, or where he stands. But it is interesting.
Well, let's let him reply.
I am a member of the Labour Party. I'm not here to defend the leadership of Mary Lou McDonald. I was asked to say, did I agree with the statement? And for the reasons I've given you, the multitude of reasons that Nelson doesn't like, I'm saying that Brexit is a disaster, and her analogy is that any deepening of partition on this island would be the equivalent of somebody wanting to resurrect the Berlin Wall, i.e. a political failure. Now, you're talking about party leadership. Who's the leader of the DUP? You know, I think Mary Lou has had a difficult time as leader of Sinn Féin, but I think that when it comes to leadership, your party takes the first prize in total failure for a whole host of reasons. And I go back to this central issue as well, that the DUP now stand against the majority of people in the north of Ireland who reject Brexit. And we have instead 10 DUP MPs who are cheerleaders of the most far-right Brexit. And even your allies within the Tory party have now dumped you. And that should be a wake-up call. And you should probably start listening to people here who say, we do not want the deepening of partition, we do not want a border in this island, and we reject totally Brexit. And you need to start coming in line.
And of course, Leo Varadkar and everyone else has said no one will be building a border post or anything else of that nature and creating.
So how do they secure their border, Nelson?
Well, that is an issue that you have gone over many times on this programme. And it's a question that you should really put to Leo Varadkar, because he's the one who made the statement.
Did you think about it when you were campaigning for Brexit, Nelson?
The decision about Brexit was a UK-wide decision.
Yeah, but did you, as a Northern Irish specialist, did you think about the border issue when you were campaigning for Brexit?
Of course one thought about these issues. The fact is that there is no need for any sort of border, as people talk about it, across the island of Ireland. There is a political border there already.
Well, there is if the EU wants to protect its single market, Nelson.
Yes. But that's
Nelson was on TV talking to you saying he didn't care.
Just an opportunity to actually finish answering your question.
Let's let him finish.
Thanks, Stephen. The fact is that all sorts of proposals have been put forward, but no matter what is put forward in the way of proposals, they are automatically rejected by people in Dublin and elsewhere when it suits them, because they turn around and say, well, this would be impractical, we couldn't deal with that, this can't happen, and so on. And yet when they're challenged, well, would you put up a border? Oh, no, we'll not be doing it. So there is an inconsistency there on the part of those who are in Dublin and Brussels. If I get back to my earlier point, I think it's an important one.
No, but you haven't answered the point about what you did think, what you had strategised would be the solution for the border when you were campaigning for Brexit.
Could I also make the point that at that stage, I can't recall hearing people raise these practical issues that suddenly have now appeared think many of them are fallacious. But I didn't hear them being made by those who were Remainers.
Well,
the fact is that this
if there was a Brexit, there wouldn't be an issue with the border. You didn't hear that.
Stephen, there was a general opposition to leaving the EU. It was one that was put forward very strongly by many people across the United Kingdom. But suddenly it is that on a morning when there's an issue where there's a focus on Mary Lou McDonald, we suddenly get into the whole realm of whataboutery. And we get suddenly into the area of diversionary tactics from Phil Kelly. Because the focus of the discussion was to be on Mary Lou McDonald, her lack, it seems, of a sense of history. Because no one with any real sense of history, anyone with an understanding of history. And it's actually demeaning to those who worked so hard to bring down the Berlin Wall. It's demeaning to the memory of those who were slaughtered by East German border guards, shot down for attempting to cross from East Germany, East Berlin into West Berlin. It's demeaning to the history of the time. It's demeaning in every way. I think it says something absolutely fundamental about the approach of Mary Lou McDonald.
I'll let you come back in one second, Phil. Malachy in Belfast. Morning, Malachy.
Hi there, Stephen. It's fantastic to listen to McCausland because by everything he says, it just shows you how far off the track him, the DUP and the Orange Order that
he's not in the DUP anymore.
I know, well, he's still...
Right,
Remember the Orange Order.
Yeah, remember the DP. You're not an MLA, sorry.
I'm not an MLA. That's what I meant.
You're a member of the Orange Order, which run the DUP, and that's who everybody's answerable to.
Well, so, obviously they don't, and obviously you're just messing.
Right? What?
Go ahead.
Here's a question I'd like to put to him. He said on one of your shows that he didn't, nor did the DUP, care about the economics or the financial loss to Ireland as an island when it came to Brexit. All they were worried about was their Britishness. Now, he stated this quite clearly. So you can have every guest that you have on the planet speaking to McCausland about this. He doesn't care about the border people. He doesn't care about movement of people. He doesn't care about trade. He doesn't care about financial loss in Northern Ireland. He doesn't care. The only reason the DUP, and no one's made this point, but I'm going to make it clear now. The only reason the DUP wanted Brexit, and a hard Brexit at that, if England have a hard Brexit with the EU, it breaks them away from Europe and makes them different.
Well, the DUP are saying they don't want to know deal.
Because we are members of what they call Britain and Northern Ireland, a Brexit separates Northern Ireland as part of the UK from Europe, which means it separates Northern Ireland as part of the UK from the South, and that there is right up their street. And they don't care about anything you say, only that.
I think we've got to let Nelson reply to that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the words that were used by the gentleman there are not words that I've ever used. Secondly, if you look at the whole issue of the history of the Democratic Unionist Party in regard to the European Union, I think you'll find that back in 1975, when the first referendum took place, that the DUP opposed membership of the European Community. But the interesting point, of course, is that back in 1975, so did Sinn Féin. The fact is that it was a cynical, tactical move by Sinn Féin that they ditched their commitment to Irish sovereignty, which was their reason for opposing the European Community, to now submerge that into some sort of European superstate. The whole opposition of people at that time and since then has been absolutely consistent.
But why are you talking about Sinn Féin rather than address the point that Malachy raised with you? He's misquoted you, hasn't he? Because you said, and I'm trying to remember, Nelson, but I think you said something along the lines of you wanted Brexit no matter what. Is that fair? And are you still of that view?
Well, let me say, Stephen, that comment was made on one of your television programmes, and it was made towards the end of the programme in a sense of exasperation because it was a programme where the panel, though reflective of different political parties, I think I was about the only person there on that panel that night, and it was who held strongly a pro-Brexit position. And on issue after issue, It was a robust night. I might well have phrased the thing.
Let's let him finish,
Malcolm. Thanks, then Stephen. You can come back.
Thanks indeed, Stephen. It was a thing that one might well have phrased differently and more reflectively. But my commitment my personal commitment to the sovereignty of the United Kingdom and my opposition to the whole European project, which is really about building a European superstate, the United States of Europe, that's something that has been my position for the past 40-odd years. And before anybody comes back, Malachy or anybody else, and tells me it's not a United States of Europe, I was looking this morning at the headlines in the newspapers and so on, and there's Guy Verhofstadt again, one of the key figures in Europe, and the man who, in fact, wrote a book called The United States of Europe. That's the ultimate aim that this is leading to. That's where it's going. If others want to submerge their national sovereignty in the United States of Europe, so be it. I don't think
that's... Okay, let's let Malachy reply.
Okay, I'm proud of being an Irish European and want to be one and want to stay one and want my kids to be one and want them to run around Europe and make money and be what they want to be. I don't want them collapsed in a Britain that's going down the tubes. In relation to your statements about 1975, and you obviously know your history about the DUP, and I don't have that information in front of me, but I will say this. Kenneth Clark, I think it was, he is one of the grandfathers of the Parliament, actually said on a TV interview in the last 3 nights that the reason that your leader, the Reverend Ian Paisley, who set the DUP up and who is a founder member of the ethos that you all follow, said, quote, he said, Paisley never liked Europe because he thought Europe was Romanist and run by the Catholic Church, and that's why he never wanted to be in it, and that's why he went to The Hague when the Pope was there and called him the Antichrist and caused havoc and embarrassed the whole world of DUP supporters and DUP membership. So Paisley didn't want to be in Europe because he thought it was Romanist. Like, my God of Almighty, what planet is Nelson McCausland on?
Let me let Ronnie and Macrofelt come in this morning. Morning, Ronnie.
Morning.
Go ahead, Ronnie. Thanks for calling.
Well, I'd just like to come back on Malachy's point there this morning, where he said that Nelson and the DUP cared about nothing other than Britishness. The fact of the matter is, that's what the Irish Republicanism has been doing for the last 40 years. All they cared about was Irish nationalism, hence the reason why IRA, backed by Sinn Féin, and their spokespersons blew up Northern Ireland at every given opportunity and basically blew the smithereens out of people men then in this country.
Well, there were people blown up by paramilitaries on both sides
of
the community and by different types of paramilitaries and different paramilitary groups.
Yeah, but that's like, fair point, but the fact of the matter is that...
Why are you just mentioning the IRA then?
Sorry?
Why are you just mentioning the IRA then?
Because the fact is that that's what Malachy produced this morning in terms of saying that Nelson was basically wanting nothing else other than business in Northern Ireland, which he has a right to do. He has a right to stand up for the people who wants to be part of the union.
Okay. Ronnie, thank you. Let me bring in Michael in Belfast. Morning, Michael.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Point I'd like to put out to Phil Kelly there.
Yes.
If he's still there.
Yes.
You keep referring to Brexit as a Tory Brexit. But sure, half the people that voted were Labour supporters. Wales, sure, it's a Labour hotspot. And it voted majority Brexit. How do you answer that? How is it a Tory Brexit if most of the people that voted, you would say, are Labour supporters?
Phil?
Okay, well, the fundamental driving force behind Brexit was a gamble within the Tory party to try and end its endless civil war around Europe. There was no thought to Brexit. Now, Labour supported it, and the referendum, to the shock of many, passed because I think a lot of the Westminster bubble were totally dislocated from the reality of people's lives, and a lot of the electorate in parts of England wanted to give the political class a kick up the behind. Now, what Labour are doing with Brexit is probably the only viable thing a party can do, which is to say we hear the result of the referendum, but we understand the damage of the kind of crazy ERG types and what the DUP are cheerleading for, and we reject that. And what we're arguing for is the softest of soft Brexits, which will not appease...
That's not what people voted for, is it?
Like Nigel. Well, we can debate that at length. But I want to come back.
You can debate it at length if you like, but who voted for a softest of soft Brexit?
Well, I'm not sure, Stephen. I'm not sure how many people voted for a crash out no deal. If you want to put that to
10.4 million voted to leave.
Well, I'm not so sure.
I may not be as educated as some of these people, but I know the difference between leave and stay. Leave means leave.
Well, let's come back.
Accept the fact that members and supporters of your own party wanted to go.
Can you tell me, Michael, why you voted leave?
Because I don't like bureaucrats, people that aren't even elected, telling me what I can do in my own country.
But of course you had...
And I have no problem. See, before they start coming off any of this nonsense about people coming here, I have no problem with people coming here to work. I have no problem with...
But of course, when you say people not elected, you know, they're MEPs from this country,
from the UK.
But
they're not running it. It's like the Junkers and all that there that's not elected. The European Commission...
And what type of things do you think they were having control over that you didn't like, Michael?
Well, they wanted us to go in the Euro, and sure, all these experts had said that it'd be a disaster.
And we didn't go into the Euro. Is that not the point? So we had we did have the power to control our country.
Yeah, but they're trying to move in here for this new European army, and they're just trying to make it a super state where they'll run it from within there, and that'll be it, and we'll have no say over anything.
All right. Listen, Michael, thank you very much. Nelson and Phil, thank you.